This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is South Carolina Congressman Joe Wilson, Republican from the Palmetto State's 2nd Congressional District. He's joining us today to talk about a myriad of issues, but most imminently, the vote that just happened here on Thursday afternoon, by which the House Democratic majority voted to increase the debt limit to about $14 trillion. And we'll talk about a couple other issues as time permits here. And Congressman, it's always great to have you with us.
And Greg, it's an honor to be with you. And indeed, this is a sad day for the American people in Washington. It was a party line vote, and the Democrats voted the liberals to increase the debt limit by $1.9 trillion. Sadly, this was the largest debt increase in the history of the United States. It's really sad because U.S. Senator Obama in 2006 said that increasing the debt weakens us domestically and internationally. And sadly, President Obama is leading America into record debt.
Congressman, let me follow up on a couple of the points you made. What was the Republican argument to the alternative about these costs and the Democrats needing to see the debt ceiling raised? What was the Republican legislative alternative here?
The Republican alternative, and it was led by Congressman Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, was to have real spending freeze, actual freeze that could be met by then not increasing the debt. But the budget that the president proposed this week actually will lead to a $1.6 trillion deficit this year alone. And then sadly, last year, when the president came in, the deficit was terrible. It was $800 billion. But then he proceeded to actually virtually double it to $1.4 trillion.
Congressman, you mentioned that then-Senator Obama back in 2006 spoke out against raising the debt ceiling. Back then, of course, it was a Republican president, Republican Congress, and there were times when the debt ceiling was raised then as well. What do you say to those who would suggest that Republicans thought it was okay then but not now?
Well, the actual facts are the numbers themselves, and that is that what the Democrats have done is increase spending by doubling it. It was inexcusable, the debt increases that we had, except that they really largely related to the financial obligations of the tax of 9/11. Then after that, in fact, the tax cuts had produced more revenue. So the best way to have addressed this was truly to be fiscally responsible by both parties. But and relativity maybe isn't the right way to be, Greg, but the liberals have excessively spent at every turn.
Congressman, what would be the outcome if, in fact, this debt ceiling extension were to be denied and yet the debt still rose? Would there be a government shutdown? What would be the fallout from that?
There could be a default, but I believe what would happen is that you would go to the administrators of the different departments and agencies and freeze the spending. And what the president proposed was a freeze that, as he indicated, would be next year. In fact, that provoked people laughing on the House floor because what he was proposing is of such inconsequential impact. But a real freeze could address the excessive spending. It would allow the citizens of our country to receive the services they anticipate, but it wouldn't be an increase in spending.
Last question on this topic, Congressman. Along with the raising of the debt limit, there was also a return to the so-called PAYGO system, pay-as-you-go. Democrats said it's a return to fiscal responsibility. I saw a lot of Republicans on the House floor saying that this is more window dressing than anything else. What's the impact of bringing this back?
Well, it's really sort of sad because, to me, it's intended to fool the American people. It sounds good, pay as you go, but there's always a loophole. And we've seen that because when they have enacted PAYGO in the past, then they've proceeded to provide, as they did, with the spending bill, a $1 trillion obligation. And you would think that that would certainly be subject to PAYGO, but no, there's always an exception. Actually, even worse, not only is it a ruse, but it's a means of forcing tax increases.
Congressman, let's move to another issue now, but also related to the president's domestic agenda. He addressed your House Republican conference last Friday. Then yesterday, on Wednesday, he addressed Senate Democrats. And last week, in talking to you and your colleagues, he admitted that Republicans had brought forth some ideas in terms of job creation legislation, healthcare legislation, and that sort of thing. However, in speaking to the Senate Democrats, he said that your ideas have been heard, your ideas have been implemented, and it's Republicans who have refused to budge on anything they don't like. What is your response to that?
Well, I think the president's wrong. We've offered very positive alternatives to all initiatives, and the alternatives, instead of a health care takeover, what we need to do is have health insurance reform, buying insurance across state lines, covering pre-existing conditions. Additionally, in regard to energy, they proposed a national energy tax, and I'm very grateful that I worked with a bipartisan group for an all-of-the-above energy plan that would include promoting clean energy, such as nuclear power, the offshore drilling of oil and natural gas, which the president has actually, in his speech, endorsed both of those. But what they've actually proposed through the cap-and-trade system, which is cap-and-tax, which is the national energy tax, the programs they're proposing are job killers. And the National Federation of Independent Business has clearly indicated that on the healthcare takeover, it would eliminate 1.6 million jobs. And we should, Greg, should be in a bipartisan effort working to create jobs and not kill jobs.
Last question for you, Congressman. I know it's a busy day for you. Your South Carolina colleague, Lindsey Graham, member of the U.S. Senate, is leading an effort on the Senate side, a bipartisan effort at that, to remove federal funding for a civilian trial for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his co-conspirators for the 9/11 attacks. Now that the venue for this trial is up in the air again, he'd like to see it before a military tribunal. Is there companion legislation in the House, and what do you think is going to happen here?
There is companion legislation, and I'm very grateful for Senator Graham's leadership. He himself is a JAG officer in the Air Force Reserve. He knows that a military tribunal is within the constitutional guidelines of our country. It's the best way, and today is also an exciting day. Today, Scott Brown will be sworn in as the new U.S. Senator from Massachusetts, and he ran on a platform that terrorists are enemy combatants. And that's how they should be treated. As enemy combatants, they should be subject to strenuous, not torture, interrogation. And then they should be subject to a military tribunal and not be provided legal rights, which make it impossible for us to defend the American people.
Thank you, sir, very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Well, great. It's a big day. And again, thank you so much for bringing these key issues to the American people.
South Carolina Congressman Joe Wilson represents his state's 2nd Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.